All right. Derek Warren here with Delane Donaldson for our monthly interview. Thanks for joining me again today.
My pleasure always to be with you.
Yeah, and as always, you've got another great topic. We're talking about the GAR, correct?
Correct, which stands for Grand Army of the Republic.
Yes. All right. What do we got?
Well, I'll tell you what. One of the things I have always been very interested in, and when my kids were growing up, my wife and I would take them on trips to Civil War battlefields all over the place.
Yeah.
Okay, I don't know how many of them, with 75 or 80 different battlefields probably I have been to, at least, and maybe more than that. But one of the things that interests me then with reference to local history is then the participation of local people in the Civil War. And so when you think about the Effingham County history, that we go back in time only to 1831, when then there was this large influx of people and the county was established and so on.
Yeah.
And so the first generation that was here was a generation that had to work on basically just setting up villages, getting things organized, for just how society works.
Setting the groundwork.
All the groundwork. Now, 30 years after the county was established, the Civil War broke out.
Yeah.
And so the next generation, in other words, the people who came into the county or who were living here in the county, had been born in this county and still were migrating into the county, that those were individuals who had to deal with an entirely different situation than ever before. Because before it was, okay, let's build our farms, let's get the farm economy going, let's make sure that people have a way to make a living for themselves, that they can feed themselves, and they're settled and so on. And then think about this. It is incredible. Then in 1861, when there was the decision by southern states to all of a sudden move away from being united with the rest of the United States, it was, how do we save this union? There was a national concern. In other words, the initial settlers dealt with local things, and then all of a sudden the focus had to go from just Effingham County to, what about the big nation out here?
Yeah.
How are we? Yeah, the large picture, really big picture. And so it was, okay, now what is our task here? And it is in this time period then that we see a very strong patriotic spirit that began to develop in the county. And I think continues right up to the very present. I think as a rural people and, living in a small town in the middle of the country, we could be very devoted just to our local interests, but I think that we are and have always been a very patriotic group that has been here. And so it was at the time of the American Civil War. It was, now somebody's trying to tear our country apart, we have to help to keep it together. So Lincoln issued his call. And the call was that we would send thousands of people to prevent the Union from being divided. And that was the major focus. How do we save the Union? And that appeal was a very strong one here in this county. There were individuals who said, we will step up to the plate here, and we will, in fact, participate in this, and we will save the Union. So when the message was received in Effingham that Lincoln had made his call for people to come into and serve in an army that would block the division of the Union, then when that call was received almost instantaneously, within a few hours' time, in fact, then there was a meeting that gathered on the courthouse grounds where the museum is located, okay? So they gathered there, and the local leaders, one of whom was a newspaper person, the media was always critical in this area, that... If we think about the role of media, that would be a topic, I guess, sometime, because you got newspapers and then later radio, and then there was an attempt, very serious attempt, to get a television station going here at one time. But, the media plays a very critical role, and so the media people are oftentimes leaders in different kinds of things that involve the whole population of a given area. So the call was there, and an organizational structure was put together on the courthouse grounds, and it was, we will have people come into this. Now, get this, and this just blows my mind here. In 1860, the census showed just a little over 7,000 people in Effingham County.
Okay.
Now, if you go and you have a listing of all of the soldiers, the veterans from Effingham County who served in the Union Army, there were a little over 2,000 of them.
Wow.
Now think of that. A little over 7,000 people in the county, a little over 2,000 people who went into service.
Yeah,
that's a big chunk.
That's over a quarter.
Yeah. So you're looking at a very strong sense of patriotism that was here.
Yeah.
You know, devotion to the country, saving the Union, etc. Now, here's what I also found. I went through the census rolls for 1860, and I thought, okay, now, of these people who were living here in 1860, how many of them were people who possibly would serve in a soldier role?
Right.
So I picked a 16-year-old as a point to start at, because we do know that there were people from this county, at least one guy that I remember writing about, reading about, who was from down in the Mason area, was just 16 years old. His parents gave him permission to go into the service. So I started with 16, and then I went up to 45.
Okay.
Because I thought that's probably the range where you would have gotten the soldiers from, you know,
right.
From 16 to 45. And here is the thing that I found. This, to me, is, again, incredible. The number of people, number of males in our county between 16 and 45 was slightly over 2,000.
So almost all of them signed up.
So think of that. When this war took place, you have this huge portion of our county that just went into battle.
Yeah. Wow, that's incredible.
It just is amazing. Every time I think about that, I'm thinking that is an incredible thing. So that meant that the women had to step up and run the farms.
Yeah.
Or the older men who were here, then they would step up and raise, you know, to help on the farms or take care of the farms. And there probably, in fact, I know that there were some who were in that age bracket who did not go into service. But it is an incredible spirit that was here saying, we will save the Union.
Yeah,
now,
I love it.
What happened as they went into the Civil War? They found that when they thought that the war would be over within 3 months' time, that was an impossibility. The fighting was ferocious. Battles had heavy losses in them. And the thing that I noticed, and I would point this out to my kids, my children, as we would go to different locations. Go to Vicksburg, for instance, the huge monument that is there at Vicksburg. It's a big, like a Grecian temple. And there's a wall in there that has the listing of all the soldiers from Illinois, or the whole monument is that way, but one wall that has soldiers that are from companies that were from Effingham County.
Oh, wow.
And you can read those local names.
Yeah.
You go to Chickamauga, for instance, and base of Lookout Mountain, and you go in there, and there's a monument that is there called Wilder's Tower, devoted to a particular unit of Union soldiers. And you can find there Colonel Funkhauser's name. And below that, a whole list of people who were part of his company. And those people were all from Effingham County. And the same is true if you go across the country. We know that these soldiers that left Effingham then, County, went to a whole lot of different kinds of places, sometimes in Missouri, sometimes in Arkansas. The Battle of Pea Ridge, for instance, a very, very important battle. And I've been there a couple of times. I don't think I've ever seen anything there that has that listing of the soldiers. But all of these people were going to the major battles and then into Vicksburg and then over to heading toward the east and so on. There were also people who didn't sign up locally, but they went to St. Louis and they signed up with the Union Army in Missouri.
Okay.
400 men from Effingham County served in Missouri units as well. Now, that is that, and sometimes what I found in my own personal research is a little bit more difficult to go through those records than it is with what we got in Illinois.
Well, and that's quite a ways away for that time period, too. Like, that's horses going through there, right?
Well, it is that, but it's also being
trains
that,
yeah,
you know, that would take them that far at that time. Now, I just want to read some figures here for you. Effingham County was among the smallest of the counties in Illinois, but it contributed 2,000 soldiers, which again was a whole big chunk of male population here who were the workers out in the fields and the like. There were 12 full companies of soldiers. There were several squads of men who joined in this state, and then also heading down to Missouri and taking part in Union forces that were down there. And so from this area, we had this huge number of people who went into war. Unfortunately, because of all the heavy fighting, a lot of them died in the field. I don't have a list in terms of that number, and I can't tell you that number. But there were a lot of those who came back maimed. There were those who went into the prison camps, and they came back a rack of bones, you know. And so there was all of this loss that was here that we had suffered during the course of the war. Now, in the aftermath of the war then, immediate aftermath of the war, there began to be talk about, okay, now we need to organize. We need to remember these people who fought in the Civil War.
Yeah.
And let's remember them, and let's have a group that is kind of a fraternity spirit to it, where they consider each other as brothers in arms. And then we have to look at the fact that so many of these then left widows at home, or they had orphaned children now where they lived because they didn't come back. Or they came back and they were disabled, and so they could not perform the farm tasks that they needed to be doing out in the fields. What did we do with that? Well, the organization was created, and this was created up in Decatur, incidentally. So this organization was created, the Grand Army of the Republic. And it was that we're going to bring people together, and we're going to focus upon the fraternity. We're going to focus upon charity, that is, helping those people who were in need, and we'll focus on patriotism. And let's try to make sure that we have a strong national spirit so we don't have a divided spirit anymore in the country, like was the characteristic before the war had started. And so it was then, we'll form these organizations, and at the beginning of the 1880s then, the organizational structure for Effingham County began to come in place. So by 1881, we have an organization, it's a very strong organization here in Effingham County. And one of the great contributions that the GAR made to the whole nation was that the GAR conceived the idea of Memorial Day.
Okay.
And so 1881, Effingham County, GAR unit was out there leading the way for celebrating Memorial Day.
That's cool.
You know, and we, you know, we've lost that sense. At that time, it was called Decoration Day.
Okay,
because the purpose of that Memorial Day, that Decoration Day, was go out and decorate the soldiers of the Civil War dead.
Right.
And so the massive parades would be held, there would be speeches that would be given, there would be all kinds of things that would be really a part of the, just the spirit, I guess, of a community, and the GAR was there leading the way. And especially they were concerned with those who had been left behind for how do we take care of the widows, how do we take care of the orphans, how do we take care of these people that these soldiers had been, you know, part of those families. And so a very, very strong organization, and they would meet on a regular basis here in Effingham. And then the other communities in the county said, okay, it's not just going to be Effingham, but we're going to have a GAR at Elliottstown, for instance, a GAR at Mason, for instance. A GAR at Aldemont, for instance.
It sounds like it took off like wildfire.
So all the communities, virtually all the communities, had people who were part of the GAR. Not all of them had a separate organizational structure, but the Civil War soldiers participated. Now, they also were very proud of the fact that they had a special uniform. It was a really dressy-looking uniform. And they wore it with pride in parades, you know, and things of that sort. And it was that we're going to come together and we are going to be people who maintain a spirit that says that we are proud that we were part of the military. Now, part of what we do at the museum is, from the very start, we have always wanted to honor people who served in the military. And so we have a lot of military things that are there. And that spirit, I think, is a spirit that is kind of a hand-me-down through the years that has come to us as a result of first being there with the GAR and all of the things that the GAR was doing. And very, very, very important organization. Now, significantly, one of the people who was a leader in the early days was Benson Wood. Older listeners here will remember the Ben Wood Hotel in downtown Effingham, named after Benson Wood, That was after his death. His wife was a major stockholder in a group that built the hotel, and she, because she was the major stockholder, then she got to pick the name, and so the Ben Wood Hotel.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Ben Wood was the individual who was in the Illinois State Legislature early 1870s. And he was concerned before he was part of the GAR, but he was concerned because he was a soldier. And he wanted to do things in legislation that would help to provide for widows and orphans, would provide for the care of those who were disabled, you know, and all of that. Now, he fought for that in a very, very courageous way in the Illinois State Legislature. He went on to Congress. And when he was in Congress, he got himself involved in those committees that focused upon the Civil War vets and military in a very broad way, but especially was to help the Civil War vets. So he was out there working all of the time. Very, very influential person and an individual who made sure that the soldiers here took a lot of pride in who they were and what they could contribute to the local society. You know, we were changed as a nation in terms of the American Civil War, in terms of politics, for instance, you know, because the general idea in the North was it was the Democrats who were responsible for maintaining the system in the South politically that caused that led to the division of the Union, and so the Northern states. Then, because they were more populous, were able to then elect Republicans to the presidency. For the most part, up into the 1930s until FDR. But there, you know, there are a couple of Democrats in there, but there are very few of them. They're all just it's a solid line. So politically, there was a major change that took place. Socially, there was a major change that took place, and just in terms of the general economy. Change as a result of the Civil War. But more importantly than all of this was the fact that locally it was that there was an organization that said, hey, we believe that we need to be united as a nation. We need to have things that are taking care of the people who were harmed as a result of the Civil War, and we need to take care of them. And I think it's just an incredible story. And when you think about the fact that that huge chunk of our population went into the war.
No kidding. It had impacts in all kinds of different battles, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. And just, I have always liked to study Civil War history. And the more that I learn about Effingham County's role and the attitude of the people here and the strength, I guess, of the people here in terms of standing up for the nation and saying we're going to keep it together, we're going to offer protection. Just an incredible thing to me in everything there. They were very, very impressive in everything that they did. And if you read the newspaper accounts and their early press here in Effingham gave really detailed coverage to all of the Decoration Day or Memorial Day, as we know it today, all those parades that took place and all the speeches. And so they did things that were beyond just their meetings. So, for instance, when President Grant died, this is after his presidency, but and you know he had been the leading general in Civil War. That when U.S. Grant died, there was a funeral atmosphere that developed inside Effingham. A meeting at the courthouse again. And then moving people away from the courthouse to other areas where they could also talk about the role of President Grant and a lot of praises. But it was more of a focus upon just general patriotism and saying, okay, we honor this man because of the fact that he was able to win a victory for the Union.
Right.
To me, a fascinating story.
Yeah, definitely. The more you learn about Effingham County, the more you realize how much we've been involved in every little thing throughout history.
Exactly.
And the fact that Memorial Day was kind of halfway founded by Effingham people getting involved in the political process in Illinois at that time, that is amazing to hear about that.
Well, it is the role that played by, and especially Benson Wood is just one of these really bigger-than-life figures. They were. He and his wife were very benevolent people. They were extremely wealthy. He had a very successful career here in Effingham as a lawyer. He was a banker. He was a land developer. When he was living here in Illinois, he and his wife would make trips out to California on a regular basis on the trains. They bought a lot of land in California. They bought land that had oil on it. They bought land that brought a lot of income back to this area. But they were benevolent people. They were active in the local Methodist church and very active in doing things that related to church-related activities. They gave money, after his death, they gave money regularly to McKendree College, but after his death then, Vincent's wife, Jenny was her name, Jenny Wood then was a major contributor to McKendree in building a library that was the Benson Wood Library. Now, today, if you go to McKendree, it's no longer a library. It's not big enough, really, for a library building anymore. It's an arts building, I think, that is there today. But they were just really decent people, and I think that kind of reflects the spirit of that time period within the GAR. You have people who had very good will, and they were people who were also very benevolent. All of the GAR that I can see, very benevolent in their spirit. There is no attempt. If you remember your American history, remember Reconstruction era, there were those radical Republicans who wanted to punish everybody in the South. And then there were the benevolent ones, and the GAR was more, as I look at it, in a benevolent cause. That is, let's heal the wounds, not keep them open, you know.
Yeah, and not grind something into the wound and try to punish them for that.
Yeah,
The era right after the Civil War helped definitely heal the nation more because it seemed like cooler heads prevailed.
Yeah. And a lot of that was the GAR.
Just amazing how much of a vital role they played there during the Civil War and post-Civil War.
Very good, yes.